Got it. Here we go. All righty. Writing to us at MyNorthwest.com. Text as well at 98973. The State Roofing text line. Great way to get to us. Here comes the wooden wagon. Sean, I heard, is going to be back on Monday, Tom, and he can't wait. He signed up for a class for equine, but he went to the wrong class. And Erskine? The bear? Is that Ursuline?
Ursi.
Is that the Ursi?
U-R-S-I-N-E.
He took an entire week's class on bear care, and so that's not
instead of equine.
Yes. Doesn't matter. There's a teeny tiny lady. She's in the wagon. Look who she's there with, Tom. This is very exciting. She's there. And if we move the microphone a little closer in there, Sam, we can listen. You know who's bringing
it? Good morning. What's going on? Excuse me. What's happening?
I do not know.
What?
Oh.
But those people are waiting for me.
Calm down. Oh.
Yes, why should I have any reason to panic? My God, I'm only going to miss a celebration in my own honor, making me a laughingstock forever. And why? Because you spilled coffee on my shoes.
Pardon me.
Oh, look at that. The teeny tiny lady, Frazier, myself, and Niles Crane all in the same scene. Tommy and Adam! Yes, all there together. Isn't that lovely? Alrighty. Anna, there she is. Getting more hazard pace. Sitting through another press conference. Washington region will not have to backtrack on COVID-19 reopening now.
That is correct. The governor started off his press conference with good news, as usual.
Washington State continues to lead in bending the COVID pandemic curve downward. It continues to lead in saving lives. And today's announcement will continue in that vein. I'm really happy to say all eight regions in our state are currently in phase two of our reopening plan. And today I'm announcing a pause on any possibility that a region would go backwards. And we're making this pause in recognition of the fact that we've made incredible progress in knocking down the infection rate of COVID in the last several weeks.
So that's a pause on going backwards. Remember, we had this every 2 weeks. They check the metrics and the data and see which region is where. And if you slip backwards and didn't meet three of the four metrics like you're supposed to, you're going back to phase one. That's not going to happen for a while, he said today. So
even
as
if
I tweeted,
we did.
Yeah, even if we did, there's a pause on going back to phase one. Just going to hold. Regardless of what the numbers say. So as I tweeted this out, I got a lot of people on my Twitter going, what about the science? So here's what he said.
Now, we know we need to follow the science and the data in making these decisions. But I think it is clear that we have had enough success in the recent weeks to be able to put a pause on any alternative that regions would go backwards. So that's what we are doing today. I'm happy to do that.
So that didn't offer a lot of information. Here's a little bit more of an explanation.
During this week's long pause, we will evaluate the situation and work with our public health partners and stakeholders on how to continue going forward. So why are we doing this? Well, during the third wave of the COVID-19 pandemic, our rolling average for new daily COVID cases was approaching 3,000 per day. That has come down dramatically. Now they're in the range below 1,000 per day. So this has been a very significant reduction in cases in our state. And I want to credit Washingtonians for what everybody's been doing. And wearing masks and being safe is the reason we're knocking these numbers down.
Now, at the same time, he said, he was asked, of course, what about phase three? We still have no phase three. So nobody's going backwards. When can we go forward? Have more capacity in the restaurants and all of that? Maybe at least 3 weeks before there's any kind of a plan there. So just in a holding pattern, the entire state in phase two for now. And he warned we must still be vigilant.
Despite this good news, we need to remain very cautious. We're able to do more activities today. We know that over 1 million Washingtonians have now had the vaccination. We are finding an increase in circumstances, the ability to return safely of our children to school, to on-site education. I want to thank educators for their really hard work they're doing in collaboration that it takes to be able to do this with everybody in the community.
So he has been calling, you know, for schools to come back to in-person learning. And there's this big growing call from all over for a lot of the kids to be back in school, get the teachers back. And especially from Republicans, I should say, in the legislature. Here's what they want.
I don't think we can allow, and we wouldn't be doing our job if we allowed this new normal to become the status quo. We have to push back on that. And we're not trying to eliminate local control. What we are trying to do is restore the former status quo, which is the default is we're in school and kids are coming first. And we are overcoming the problems to the extent that we can that might keep kids out of school. That's what we want to return to. And if we sit on our hands and allow a new normal to become a long-term status quo that says kids don't really have to be in school, we've got all these other things that get in the way and we're going to let them come before kids and their education, we would not be doing our jobs.
That's Minority Leader J.P.T. Wilcox, who was talking there.
Yes.
Someone in this also went on to slam the state, the teachers union. They said that's the only holdup. The governor's on board. They gave him credit for calling for schools to reopen and for going in person the last couple of weeks to schools and kind of leading by example to encourage everyone to go. So I don't know what I wonder if today the hold on the pause or the pause on moving backward a phase is possibly to make sure that teachers and parents and others don't feel as insecure about going back to in-person learning, but with a threat of phase one. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How do we rank overall with 50 states? Where are we? Schools opened.
Schools open. I have a chart somewhere. I think low, very, very low. But we're in the number 10 for the fewest amount back in-person learning, if I remember right.
Yeah. Oh, I'm looking at it right here. Yeah, you sent the 47th. I think we're 47th overall. Yeah, 47th as far as amount of time spent in the classroom out of the entire United States. So,
yeah, but we're also in the top 10 for not having spread, too. I mean, so.
Yeah, but we peaked in we peaked primarily in March. You broke the curve in March.
Maybe
we had a second one come back again, and 0.01% of people have passed from it. The cases are really irrelevant. I don't know why they always point to cases, because cases need to convert to illnesses, to convert to hospitals, to convert to death, to really make a point. To have somebody with a case is not really telling you anything, right? We've talked about this before, but this is what they always talk about, the number of cases. Cases converting to illnesses, to hospitals, to ICU is really the number you have to look at. But again, here we go. When do they go back? Did the governor say anything? Is he going to do anything? Have we heard from the unions after J.T. Wilcox? Has anybody mentioned that maybe it'd be nice to have the kids actually get an education, since we pay 57% of our property taxes to a school that's operating half the week?
There's a push coming from, again, the GOP in the state legislature. I've not heard from the union, and it's really not anything the governor can do. While he did have the power at the beginning of the pandemic to shut the schools down, or the Department of Health, I should say, had that power because of the initial part of the pandemic, he can't force them to go back. It has to be left up to local control, and that's state Republicans don't want to take away local control, but they want to make it so that they have to put the kids back to in-person learning. Because we heard, I think it was Senator Ann Rivers who spoke during this briefing today, talking about there's some briefing she was in the other day that showed that suicides in young people are up more than the COVID deaths. So there's more of that than there is the COVID deaths. I've not been able to independently confirm, but she repeated it when asked during this press briefing today. So there's a really significant concern about the mental health situation, especially when we're talking about students. And I know at least three individual cases where students have taken their own lives since the pandemic.
Tom, unless you have somebody to say, I know Hannah will be very upset if we don't get to her story.
We have lots of material.
Ask me something, because it's not a good transition to the next one from that last comment.
All right, sorry.
Tom?
Pausing briefly.
Yes.
And
so I guess just to give us a little stretch, The good thing is that we're not getting backward. We're not moving backwards. But you seem to imply that it was not a scientifically based decision on his part, but a politically based decision.
Well,
did I read that
I'm
right?
Not going to. I'm speculating. I'll be clear about that. I think it's better okay. optics, though, right? When you've got some
yes.
of the teachers union folks who are worried about going back to in person, and we've got concern about the variants out there. If you yes. send the region back to phase one,
yep.
You know, there's going to be less likely to go back to school, maybe.
Yes.
And do you like how the governor kept saying, you know, we listened, we were asking you, and you're telling us this idea of you're telling us what you want, what you need in order to get back. What a load of crap. What has happened is that he realizes when he finally got a chance to hear from legislators that were screaming at him, the king suddenly realized that people were unhappy. So now he's changed the tone to, you know, we want to hear from you. What do you need in order to get back to business? I'll tell you what you need. You need to let these people get their businesses going again and stop saying that you're using science when science doesn't prove that people catch it in a restaurant. People don't catch it dining outside. People don't catch it inside. They don't catch it in a church or a mosque. They don't catch it in a synagogue. Tom, where's the science? There's no science. Zero. Really? You're going to give a most likely you're going to catch it while you're in church?
There was the super spreader event at the wedding.
Yes, they were right. They're standing next to one another singing in a choir. Right. And the majority of the people are over the age of 70. Got it. Right. And then we find out that we need to spread out. So spread out. But let's not go into that. Let's talk about the fact that Hannah's very upset that pigs can't eat garbage.
And I'm not terribly upset, but this was an interesting story. So I'm listening to some bills as they're being debated. This is happening on the Senate floor yesterday. And it's a proposal from Senator Kevin Van Wyk that seemed to be a bit of a lighter bill at first.
It deals with prohibiting the feeding of garbage meat to pigs. And I think it's a great bill. It's a straightforward bill. It's an important bill. I frankly was surprised, Mr. President, that you asked for last line. I thought it's the type of legislation that we would read in full. But it's a bill that will, it's important during COVID because people are getting swine that they shouldn't probably have and had some instances of feeding garbage to them that caused problems. So this is a good bill, and I encourage your support. Thank you.
So that's the setup. And then afterwards, there was a little bit of comic relief.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would just wonder if the prime sponsor would consider a title change to the Protection of Bacon Act.
Not a lot of chuck. I know. That's Senator Phil Fortunato. I wasn't listening for that particular bill. I was listening for something else that was coming up. And then Senators Judy Warnick and Ron Mazzal explained how serious this was.
It would be easy to try to make a joke out of this bill. In fact, when I heard it, I thought it was a joke. But this is a very serious bill.
If we go back to the late 90s in Great Britain, the outbreak of hoof and mouth disease, which was disastrous to Great Britain agricultural production and led to thousands of livestock having to be put down and burned in pyres surrounding the English countryside, and the suicides of numerous farmers as they watched their livelihoods disappeared, could all be traced back to feeding of garbage from a Chinese restaurant on the east coast of Great Britain. This is a perilous problem that could affect all of livestock agriculture in the state of Washington.
So it's a big deal. And this bill would make it so that you don't do that. So, you don't feed the garbage to the pigs.
So who does that? And where's the garbage come from? And why would a farmer do that?
When they say garbage, what they're referring to is like the definition of garbage.
Scraps.
It's waste material derived from a whole or in part from meat of an animal, fish, poultry, stuff like that. So it's scraps. Okay. Yeah, exactly what you're saying. And apparently it's been happening. And I think as you heard Senator Van Wyk say there, there's been people, I think early on there was food insecurity because of the pandemic, right? Remember very early on, people were worried about our food supply. Maybe people went out and bought their swines and decided they were going to start to do that without perhaps the experience and the training that you might need for such a thing.
They're going to buy a pig, raise the pig, and slaughter the pig because of problems with food.
That seemed to be the suggestion that people are buying pigs that don't know exactly how to go about doing such things from the senator who was sponsoring this bill. So I don't know the exact deal. It's enough of an issue, though, that they've had reports. And I think he had said that it was someone in his one of his constituents who reached out to him because he was unaware of this issue and said this was a really, really big problem. And then the senator you heard at the end there, that's Ron Mizall, who is a pork farmer. He started his comments by saying, I am probably the only legislator that's a pork farmer here, and I know what I'm talking about. Here you go. So it's happening enough that they needed to pass this bill.
So just to understand this. So it was like cheap feed to them that could be something wrong, and then it gets into the pig, and then when you slaughter the pig is carrying disease that would be bad for other pigs and for human consumption.
Right? So gotcha. Disease that hits animals and humans. It just brings me back to the beginning of the pandemic, and I just get worried. So I just wanted to share this with everyone
this is not
in
the
case
swine
you didn't
flu.
Happen to hear it.
Yes. And I can't believe Phil didn't go further in his ability to be able to make a good, solid run for governor with that type of humor with the bacon joke.
Well, when you got to run over Lauren Culp, that's a big task.
Gee whiz. All right, Hannah, anything else before I say bye-bye?
Oh, there's all kinds of stuff I'll update you tomorrow on. There's open carry of weapons is right now as we speak being debated in the Senate, has been for about the last hour. That'll be an interesting outcome. And there's some big stuff coming up on unemployment right after this. So we'll see what happens.
Good. There we go. Thank you, Hannah. My neighbor down the street has got a gigantic pig, Tom, in his cage. He's raising it for the same sort of thing. So,
does he feed it?
I don't go down there. Dougie says, "Don't go down there." I don't go down there.
Okay.
I went down there once, and it starts to look really weird. There's lots of like stuff piled up. You're waiting for the guy on the front porch to be, coming at you with that banjo, right? I mean, it gets weird down the end of the road, all right?
I see.
You got some high-quality people up here on this side.
Already you're creating corridors of privilege.
Dougie's like, all the liberals live down there. Blankety-blankety, effety-effety-effety. Effety-effety. Here's the worst part about hanging out with him. There's a lot of F-bombs. I know traffic. It's a lot of F-bombs. And then you have to, try to not just... Because, you round people and they keep using the F-bomb.
Sure.
And then you got to not use the F-bomb. Tom,
you relax.
Help
you become
me.
Kevin Mather. You
yes,
get too relaxed.
Be careful. Yeah, that's the problem. All right, let's take a look at traffic with...
Why you just start saying frick?
Oh, because that's so stupid.
It's better than anything else.
Pause. Tom, I'm scared. Are you there?
I'm here. The directions were a 3:30 and a 4:30, not a 5:30.
Oh, okay, fine. All right. It's a little behind the scenes for everybody. Hey, how about locally owned Costco taking people to $16 an hour? Good for you, ding! Good for you, Costco. Way to go. They're stepping up. They know that it is a wicked hard search to try to get people to work in retail. And because of that, they're like, I'll tell you what, we're Costco. We'll help you out. We'll give you a whole bunch of benefits. We'll even pay you, time and a half. You can work on Sunday. We'll give you like a belt you can wear around your big belly and pick stuff up. And you can come work here at Costco and we'll give you $16 an hour starting. I think the average wage is like 21 or something like that. So Costco now steps out ahead of everybody else. Target, Walmart are their biggest competitors, and they're now offering $16. So high bidder wins. Everybody goes to Costco to apply for a job there.
Well, the thing is, I mean, that's part of the plan here. Yeah, they pay more than their rivals. Their rivals, Amazon, Walmart, and Best Buy, is in one strip, and everybody has kind of responded to this $15 an hour bid. Everybody is raising their minimum wage. For their own customers, Target and Amazon, they pay $15 an hour. Walmart starts at about $11 an hour, but they've agreed to boost it to eventually $15 an hour. So this does seem to be becoming the new floor, at least for these major operations. What I can tell is if Costco sort of prides itself with its Northwest roots here. I think it prides itself on being progressive. I'm wondering if they see this as something more than a purely economic decision to attract people away from other of these big box kinds of stores. If there's some kind of progressive politics involved, or if it's just a purely bottom line decision.
Well, progressive only takes you so far, and then eventually the reality of stepping
that's true. I agree.
The rake of economics strikes you in the face. And Costco realizes we need to have people work here. We need to attract people. People don't like working in retail as much as they used to. So what can we do? By raising it to $16, you know what that does? That makes it extremely hard for somebody who doesn't have the skills to get paid $16 an hour. So Costco now has the pick of the litter. 70% of the people that work in management in Costco started in the warehouse. They like to start people. Mm-hmm. If you get an MBA in business, used to be they'd interview you. They don't. They want you to start way out there stacking and picking and packing and then work your way up. They have one of the lowest turnover rates, Tom, 5% turnover, which is like unheard of in the business.
Yeah.
Because people, they take really good care of their people. So we're going to invest in our people. But at $16 an hour, it's like, you know what? No. You're not worth 16. You're not worth 16. We're taking you, and you. So it allows you to be far more selective. And that's also the damage that's done when the government comes in and does $15 an hour. It basically takes a whole group of people that don't have skills worth $15 an hour and allows them to remain unemployed.
Well, the thing, though, is that if it hadn't been for this minimum wage push to $15, I bet a lot of these companies wouldn't have felt so quick or free and easy to go ahead and do this. So it has had a positive economic effect, even if the legislation doesn't get through. By the way, did you hear, John, this is just, it was news on the on CBS. I know you've sworn off the news, but
I swear off just, it until they start they, doing
the
news,
parliament,
yeah.
The parliamentarian.
I read this in the Wall Street Journal. She said, no, you can't include minimum wage inside of it. Yes.
Yes. Yep. Which is pretty significant because that was one of the points of contention, that the hunch was that if it came to kind of negotiations, that would be the first thing that the Biden administration would be willing to jettison to lure a possible Republican voter to over to their side. Well, now the parliamentarian has decided that's not even cricket to include it to begin with. So. But again, it's that push, whether it gets through or not, it's that push getting all this attention that I think allows for or drives some of these big corporations to up
their minimum wage. And you think it's a positive? You think it's a positive?
Yeah, I think in the end it is a positive because it creates a kind of floor. Now, I understand there are concerns about will there be people that don't get jobs out of that. The nice thing about these kinds of studies is the prediction that you would think in a model would be the case turns out often not to be the case.
Well, do you just think of it this way, that if somebody doesn't have the skills that it's worth $15, what are they offered?
Well, what they're offered are training programs that allow them to learn what skills. I don't know the most basic skills that you would need at a warehouse kind of place, though. I don't
know. Do you know why?
Go ahead.
You start to see black unemployment rate for young black men, 24 and younger. I think the unemployment rate is 40%. There was a time before minimum wage really started going gangbusters in the mid-50s when they first jacked it in place. There were more unemployed white teenagers than black teenagers. And the numbers stayed about the same. But what happened was, as minimum wage increases, every time minimum wage increases, the buyer, which is the employer, can have more more discretion as to who they're going to hire. So the latter, it gets harder and harder for an individual to get that first job, whether it's a high school student who's struggling with reading and other things like that, they'll be left out. But it doesn't matter because it makes people feel like you end up helping a bunch. Only 5% of workforce actually makes minimum wage, and they have that for about 90 days. And within about 90 days after that, most of them get a raise. It might be 50 cents or 25 cents, but they begin to move up and out of there. So, and most people, 25%, are actually living at home and are 24 or younger, and they're living in a household where the average income in that household is $75,000. So to have this idea that, $15 now is going to help all of these poor people that have all of these kids.
Not all, but more.
That's not the case.
They're
a minority. They're a minority. But by the way, I always say, why not $20 an hour? If
I think there are reasons.
Why wouldn't 20 be better?
Because I think that at some point there'll be an economic flip. Right now, the studies show that if it's not raised too much, too quickly, it all works out in the end. If you raise it, if you double it, if you made it $50 an hour, it could sink. That whatever studies they've done have always been within a proportion, because nobody would do that unless you're trying to scuttle the entire idea of minimum wage, which is what you've always tried to do, John.
Right, because it's a racist law. I saw a really great speech by Kennedy in 1961 about how minimum wage is so good about keeping the Negro workers out. I was like, whoa, look at JFK rocking it. Holy moly. How about that? All righty, here we go. Give me Sam, give me a little bit of that. Drop a little needle down there on that mailman song, would you please? A little mailman there. Sweet.
I'm the mailman. I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me. I'm the mailman. If you
can't find the teeny tiny lady,
we've got to pound it. And we've got to pound it till it's done.
Governor, I'm trying to find the teeny tiny. You see her anywhere, Jacob? Say hi to her. She'll yell out your name.
Hello.
Oh, there she is. Okay. All right, Teeny. We'll get the letter of the day, Tom, but let's first get started with all the rest. Here we go. All right?
Okay, we'll start off with Biden's immigration policy. Area code 360 says, what's the point of enforcing immigration law? For that matter, what's the point of enforcing any laws? It's the winter of love.
Oh, wow. I like that. 425. John Curley. It's funny how you say giving undocumented immigrants all kinds of stuff so they'll vote Democrats, but you don't say the same when it comes to Republicans. Give all kinds of goodies to corporations and rich people in the form of tax breaks and free money for Republicans. That's about about 50 million. How many people do we have that are actually considered rich in the United States? You get far more votes if you give people things that are to people that are poor. There's more poor people.
Yeah, but they don't vote. Anyway, good point, 425. Area code 360. Try going into Canada if you have a DUI conviction. They will not let you cross the border. Wow.
I pulled up there. I was throwing whiskey bottles out. They look twice at you, I'm telling you right now. Tom's vaccine appointment, 206, says, it took a pandemic to get you two to hang out together.
That's right.
Coming by. By the way, you can't come in here. But you don't have your vaccine. You have to come after you come. After you get your vaccine, then come to the CLE. I'll meet you outside, Tom. It's too small in here.
I have no intention of spending much indoor time with you, John. I just want to check out the place. We'll wear our double masks.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll be safe.
That's a good idea.
Joey the Garbage Man. Tom, don't you think vaccines in Yakima are intended for that community? Driving hundreds of miles to jump the line sure seems like a certain kind of privilege that you've spoken out against. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt, though, as much crap as I give you. You are far from a selfish person. Can you explain that? Maybe I'm missing something. Believe me, that did cross my mind. What I did hear, though, was that the urban the biggest counties were not given the equal percentage. So the suggestion was that anybody who can go and get it. There were so many openings in Yakima. I don't feel like I am bumping a Yakima native or an Ellensburg native or a Cleveland native from going in. But don't know. I think Joey, great point.
360 says quid pro Crow 206 says, I feed the crow at my work at
Domino's.
Domino's with ghost pepper chips. They love them. Birds love spicy things. Good. Okay.
Spice tastes sweet to them. I didn't know. 425. I have actually watched two crows pick on rocks, fly up into the air, and drop them on a raccoon to chase it away. Wow.
Mm-hmm. 425 says, hey, guys, I was wondering if Curly could do the narration on the Crow video John was talking about in the Dr. Fauci voice. I can't help. I'd like it. Yes, I could do that for you. I will.
I can't.
Jacob, let's make that happen. All right.
And area code 253, necrophiliac Crow talk. A segment I think we can discard. Probably want to pass on the Facebook video too, Jacob and Buddy, with John and many of his suggestions. At this point, it's probably best to just nod and smile. Tell him I'll get right on that, then conveniently forget to do so.
That's about how it works. I think Jacob wrote that. Russell Wilson, 206. Russell Wilson's determined not to be remembered as the quarterback who threw an interception on his last day at his last Super Bowl. He needs to get to another Super Bowl.
Area code 206, 3 years from now, Wilson is still in the NFL. Pete Carroll won't be.
Ooh, boy. And then, after this recent playoff series, Russell Wilson should change his moniker to Mr. Unlimited to Mr. Eliminated.
Ah, very good.
Oh, ooh, nice turn of phrase.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
The letter of the day comes from area code 253. I got a feeling John, Tom, and poor sweet Paige snowed in together. The horror. The horror. Nah. P.S. The Klee? No. That, try as you might, is never going to catch on, John.
Yes,
sorry.
It will, 253. You don't know. It's already started.
Give it the French accent, the clay.
I had a guy text me, he listens, and he lives in the clay. He said, the clay, that's the way to go.
Started,
start small. All right.
That's better than Elam. That's all she wrote. Send me your address, John.
I will, Tom. But hey, we got another hour to do.
Oh, that's right. Next hour.